Good morning. How's everybody doing today? So the question was, how's everybody doing? Not the first three people. All right, we're doing better. We're doing better. This is good. This is good. You know, participation's great. I'm good. I'm good. I got two cups of coffee in me and breakfast. I'm alive now. Thank God my drug of choice is hitting. Finally. Food, not caffeine. But no, I'm excited. We're happy to have you guys here today. And I just want to invite you, if you're a guest, if you're newer here, or if you simply feel like you're not connected, here's something we know. It's a larger building, and many people can come and feel like they're not a part. They're just in a seat. That's one of the last things that we want for anybody here, is to feel like they're not a part of the family of God. So we want to invite you after service. You could have been here for the last 23 years. If you don't feel connected, we want to invite you to the Connect Room right after service. You can go out the back doors, by the bathrooms, take a left, or ask somebody at the front desk. But we want to help you get connected here because we love you. We love people. And we want to make sure that you feel like you're a part of the family of God. My second announcement is easy. If you have children, wave a hand at me real quick. Awesome. Then I'm definitely speaking to you. If you have grandchildren, wave a hand at me. If you got nieces or nephews, awesome. All right, we're good, everybody. We have VBS coming up in August in Ithaca, Horseheads, and Mansfield. VBS is not just a vacation for parents. It's an amazing time for our kids to grow and know more about Jesus, to come and have fun with their friends. And it's an amazing time, an amazing moment. You can find out more about VBS on our website, histabernacle.com, in the kids page. But honestly, VBS is a blessing, not just for our kids to enjoy, but also a couple free minutes. Hey, yo. No, I'm alone there. Okay, moving on. My last announcement, my favorite one. We do this thing every year called the Uproar Conference. And this is our 10th year. It's crazy. Year 10 right now. It's wild. The first year, there's like 300 kids in here. We were at the arena for a few years. But we decided we'd rather pack this place out, have home field advantage, and see what God can do. And it's crazy, guys. We have churches from Maine, Massachusetts, Virginia, Georgia, Florida, Houston, Texas, two churches from Houston coming. Like, for what? For a move of God, that's what. We're excited. So this year, we have Dante Bell, Naomi Rain. Our team is going to be crushing it for worship. Pastor Chris Estrada, Pastor Chris Durso, Brother Corey Russell, Brother Ted. It's stacked. Social Club Misfits, it's stacked. We're excited to see what God's going to do. And if you know anybody that's a youth, which is 7th grade, all the way up through young adults, this is completely free. And it's crazy. I have no idea how many people are going to be here. I'm low-key, I'm scared, though. Normally, we only have like 120 registrations and like 1,000 people will come. Last we knew, there were over 550 registrations. We started doing a seating chart, and there's like two rows left. So it's a good, bad problem. But we're excited for what God's going to do at conference. If you know anybody that's young, please get them here, theuproar.org, for all information.
Can I just talk about finances right now?
Yeah, and then pray into worship.
Okay, awesome. I just want to add that the Uproar Conference, if at the time of tithes and offerings today, if you want to sow into Kingdom Builders, the conference has some unexpected surprise expenses right at the end. So it's about $4,500 that, surprise, they got shocked with. But we want to make sure that this is perfectly free, and not just free, which it will be, but Pastor Cody, and I don't know if I'm supposed to tell this, but I need to. One of the things he wants to do is he wants the offering that he's able to take at Uproar to be able to go to this young man who's 17 years old that's doing a conference a couple weeks after. So he doesn't want to have to use any of that money to cover expenses. We want to be able to use that to bless him. So if you would like to sow today when we take the offering, just write on your envelope, not your tithe, this is sowing, but write Uproar on it if you can help out with these extra expenses and make it so that we can just be an absolute blessing to these young adults. else. Pastor, are you going to pray and open us in prayer this morning? My grandson wants this donut in my hand really bad. Make that for me.
I actually had that donut in my mouth, and she looked at me. She said, "That's for the baby." I had to take it out of my mouth. Sorry. No lie, man. She like guilted it out of my mouth. A donut. I didn't even get a donut this morning. You're going to have a great time today. The anointing is good. The presence of the worship is awesome. Brother Henry has a testimony for you today. Let me tell you something. The word, Shazam. It's a good word today. We're going to challenge you. We're going to move you forward. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, change forward.
Change forward.
Father, we are not here to appease our religious spirit. We are not here to, God, just go to a building. We are here for you. So, Lord, we lay everything down. We put our phones down. We put our desires down. We put our focus down. And we make our focus you. God, we will give you our undivided attention today, that you will be glorified, and that today, Jesus, you will speak to our hearts, challenge us to be more like you, use us for your glory. And Jesus, we ask that during worship, you'll just envelop us. God, overwhelm us. Lord, heal the sick right during worship. God, give hope to the hopeless right during worship. But more than anything, Jesus, make your presence so known that we can't deny that you're alive. We need you, and we declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may stand to your feet. Are you getting ready to worship? Let me pick up.
How y'all doing? Come on, come on, come on. We got a lot of carpet up here. We'd love to invite you to come on down. And while you're coming, come on and clap. Give God a shout of praise this morning. Come on. Come on and clap with us. Sing this out. Say, you're the joy no one can take away. You're the joy no one can take away. You're the peace inside I can't explain. You're the strength I for being our strength. Thank you, God, that when you're here, there is a fullness of joy. We have joy this morning, and we have peace in you. Thank you, Father God, for your sacrifice. Hallelujah. Yeah. Consuming fire, my heart's desire. And oh, how I need you, Lord, a fresh outpour with no resistance. I give permission. So come now, invade my heart. This life is yours. Come fill me up, Holy Ghost. Shine bright. Until the whole world knows your love, come set me on a holy fire, burn bright until the whole world finds your love, sing consuming, consuming. With no resistance, my one desire, and only this I seek, to be a living fire, consumed completely. This is my one desire, and only this I seek, to be a living fire, consumed completely. Come on and shout this out. Say this is, y'all.
And this is my one desire.
Yeah.
And only this I seek, to be a.
Sing it out.
Consume, come.
Sing it.
This is my. And only this I seek, to be a living fire. Consume completely. This is my one desire.
Until we find your love, until we know your love, we will spread your love, we will spread your love. Come and fill us up, come and fill us up, come and fill us up. Come on, come and fill us up, come and fill us up. Until we find
your love,
and we say hallelujah, glory to the God who saved my life, and I will praise you, I'll worship you, I'll give you glory. Because I am free, because I am whole, and I will tell everyone I know. Hallelujah. Glory to the God who changed my life, and I will praise you. I'll worship you. I'll give you glory.
So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I can be free, so I can be whole, so I can tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I can be free, so I can be whole, so I can tell. Just wanna please your heart. I just want to worship you. I just want to seek your face. And I just want to love on you. I just want to please your heart. I just want to worship you. And I just want to seek your face. And I just want to love on you.
It's all about you.
It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all. I just want to please your heart. I just want to worship you. And I just want to seek your face. I just want to love on you. I just want to please your heart. And I just want to worship you. And I just want to see your face. I just want to love on you. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all.
Jesus, you're so good. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Sweet Lord, sweet Lord. He la da da ma da mandi de amboro coro de ba da da mo ro ma sham da da ma. He le la ma ka da ma ta da ma sham. Hallelujah.
sweet Holy Ghost. Sweet Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Love your presence, Father. We love your presence, Lord. We love your presence, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God's healing someone's left kidney right now in the name of Jesus. I command it to be healthy and whole for the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Someone's right ear, it feels like a bug's running around inside. I just speak to the ear. I command you to be made whole in the name of Jesus. I command the hearing to be perfect and the sensation and the cause thereof to be eliminated. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus, worship. Hallelujah. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. My foot is held fast to his steps. I have kept his way. I have not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. But he is unchangeable, and who can turn him back? What he desires, that he does. I know that some of you are going through difficult times right now. And I want you to know that God is for you. Sometimes our lives are being tried, and I just want to make sure you understand how God tries. God will never use what he delivered you from to try you with. He'll never use sin, he'll never use sickness, and he'll never use poverty as a trial. But he does test the hearts. You know, we say we want God, but do we really want God? It's almost like a jealous lover will stand just far enough away and not pursue to see if you're going to pursue them. God wants you to pursue him. That's why the scripture says, seek ye first. I don't know what you're going through, but I know this. He cannot change. He is ever the same. And if you pursue him, in who he is, though you are tried, you shall come forth as pure gold. I don't know about you, that means dross gets whipped off. What they do is they take it and they heat up the gold, and the hotter it gets, the impurities go to the top. How many of you know you got some impurities? Maybe you need some dross taken off. And every time they scoop it off and then they heat it more. Do you realize that 24 karat gold, the reason they can't make rings out of 24 karat gold, it's too soft. The more pure the gold is, the softer it is. God's trying to make your heart soft and supple and pure. Let him. Listen, though he try you, you'll come forth as pure gold. And when you're supple in the hand of the Father, you can't lose. I challenge you. He's unchanging. Don't change your focus.
in becoming more like Jesus. Amen. Isn't God good? Good presence of the Lord this morning. It's just been so good. Father, we don't ever want to take advantage. We don't ever want to just think, God, that we shouldn't be appreciative. We know, God, it is a phenomenal honor because of the death of your Son to cover us in his blood, that we can come before your throne and worship you. You said you're looking upon the earth for those who will worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray, God, that you are pleased this morning, that you smelled our sacrifice of worship, declaring you as God, for it is all about you. And we love you so very much. And everybody said, amen. Not too long ago, I was reading songs. I was reading Ecclesiastes, and there's a verse in there called that says, "Vanity, vanity, all is vanity." And I think the more mature I become, the more I realize that really the accomplishments of life are really all vanity. There's only one accomplishment that is ever going to get you what you really want, and that is your pursuit of God. When you get him, you've got a prize that goes beyond the temporal world. Can't take a dollar with you. Well, you can. You just can't spend it. You can fill your casket with jewels and gold and even memories, but you're not there. They're going to be buried. They're not going to serve anybody any good. The only thing you and I have is him. Do you have God? Does God have you? A lot of people want salvation. They want Christ in them, the hope of glory, but they don't want to be in Christ, which is a whole different posture. I pray you'll submerge yourself. And though he try you, what trials do is it gets you into him instead of just him and you. Surrender, and you'll live a very blessed life. Amen. We're going to do meet and greet this morning. We'll remind everybody how we do this now, and that is we honor one another. Not everybody is comfortable, and so we're asking that you just don't go up and hug people, that you ask them if it's okay, but we want you to get to know people, amen? This is what we are. We've always been a friendly church. We are always going to be a friendly church, amen? So I want you to go find somebody you don't know this morning. Make sure you ask their permission to cross the lines of touch or hug, and we love you. Go meet somebody this morning. Meet and greet somebody today. Get out of your chair now. Don't be standing in your seat.
of meet and greet. You all are a friendly church. We don't have to worry about you being unfriendly. We can never end a meet and greet in this house. I don't even know where Pastor is. I lost him completely. Oh, you see somebody's pointing. How about Henry Fuchsman? Is he still in the house or is he still out there meeting and greeting? There he is. Hey, Henry. This is the time of our tithes and offerings. I'll give you a moment to get back to your seats before I pass it off to Henry for our testimony this week. There's nothing better than the testimonies from God of financial blessing and prosperity, because God's word says that he desires that you would prosper above all, that you would prosper and be in good health. So God desires to prosper his children. And I love hearing testimonies of the prosperity of God. So I think we have majority of them seating, Brother Henry. Oh, there we go. There's a hush coming on the crowd now. Except for Pastor Spencer. I'm sure he's still talking, Henry. But we're going to pass it off to Henry to share his testimony this morning. And you'll be blessed.
Hey, security, can you get that little guy with the jacket under control, please? Yeah, that's the guy, the one that's hugging the man with the white shirt. Oh, we said get him under control, please. Hey, how many of you were here for the first service? Okay, we're going to try to do this a little bit better in the second service since we don't have all the pressure. Hey, where's Isaac? Where's my spoon, Isaac? Kevin, can you put that up on the screen? I'm going to share with you a little bit about finances or whatever, but I just want you to know that blessing is not just strictly, we're not strictly talking about money. It's just one of the means. Now, I am exceptionally blessed. I get to sit with my son on church on Sunday, which is awesome. And Pastor Mike talks a lot about Josh, so we're not going to say anything more about Josh Fuchsman. Oh, by the way, I'm Henry Fuchsman, Josh's older brother. Okay, so I'll start again. I'm Henry Fuchsman, minister of the gospel, masquerading as president of Energy Solutions USA. But that's true. I don't look like Josh's older brother. I mean, I'm better looking. Yes, thank you, Pastor Mike. Yes. But I am, we're not talking about strictly about money. I am exceptionally blessed. My wife's been married 48 years. Did you guys get that okay? I do have an awesome son. I love being with my kids. Is there anything better than being in church with your kids? Nothing. And not only that, but he made an exceptionally smart choice. God had mercy on him, and he married the epitome of a daughter-in-law. I adore my daughter-in-law, Melanie. She really is amazing. I have to say all these things because she's a geriatric nurse. She promised that she would take care of me when I got old. I am bad, am I? Oh, my. That's why I've always been in trouble. But on the serious side, she is an awesome daughter-in-law. I just love my daughter-in-law, Melanie. When we were still living in the Rochester area many years ago, I mean, these guys... I just can't say enough great things about my son and my daughter-in-law. It was like we spent more time here on the weekends than we were in our own place in Rochester. And it was really funny. Josh was not, and Melanie, they weren't serving the Lord 100% yet. But it was really cool. Like if we didn't go to church, because we always go to church, my wife and I, on Sundays. But if he didn't go to church, it's absolutely true. You've heard the story, Pastor Mike, telling you that he chased Josh for about 2 or 3 years and almost gave up. So we'd maybe go out to eat for lunch or something, and we'd be sitting in a restaurant, you know, it'd be I don't know, 12:15, 12:30, whatever, and Josh would go, hey, yeah, hey, Dad, look, check it out. Pastor Mike is texting me. That's how he talks. You know, he still thinks he's a teenager. But anyway. And my grandkids, I love my grandkids. They're just absolutely awesome. And I love the fact that in this church, you know, a children's church is not just babysitting. One of my grandkids, Annika, she might be one of the preachers in one of, around here one day. In public school, I don't even know what got in her head. She started a Bible club, you know? So I really messed up in the first service because I went so long. I think I'm going to go longer, but that's okay. There's nothing going on this afternoon, is it? Oh, yeah. So, you know, don't worry about it. Just relax, unbutton your shirt. We could be here a little while, you know? It's no big deal. But up on the screen, since I am going to try to share about tithes and offerings, do you guys know what that is? That's a big shovel. The technical name for that is a payloader. You see the size of that shovel? So in our tithes and offerings, I mean, that thing is humongous. You've seen those big machines, you know, you got a ladder to get in it, and the bucket is humongous. It holds tons of dirt. When we give, you know, our tithes and offerings, this is what we do in comparison to that payloader, you know. And I kind of messed up. I was going to try to get one of these spoons, a little kid's spoon, and stick it in the middle to show the difference, and I never got that. Can I do this again next week? No? But anyway, so I said in the first service, and I trust you to understand what I'm saying, this is not really my favorite part of the service. My favorite part is worship or preaching, because worship was phenomenal. I just asked Mackenzie, she had to escort me. She's, you know, a big shot here, so she had to escort me, you know, through the door so the security wouldn't try to cuff me down or something. But I asked her to send that song about the Holy Ghost fire. Wasn't that awesome? I mean, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. I mean, that's why we worship. That's why we love worship, because that's God's presence. And I love God's presence even more than I love being with Josh and Melanie. But I do love being with Josh and Melanie, especially when he buys dinner. So, you know, when you don't really want to preach today. He doesn't want to preach. He is looking very handsome. So, you know, tell him that he's looking handsome. He might not get to preach today. But he has a great word. So we do want to hear from him. But anyway, okay, I better get on with this thing here. So anyway, so remember, tithes and offerings and giving, it is not, and Pastor Mike has talked about many times, it's not just about money and finances, it's time and what we do with our time, and that's something I think he'll be sharing about. But I like the fact that he doesn't mince words. And in Hebrews 13:17, and I want to tell you why. In Hebrews 13:17, if you ever get a chance to read that, especially in the NLT, it says, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. So if he gets on your case about something, it's not because he's just wants to get on your case. He's gonna be answering for you. And like I said in the first service, when I stand in front of Jesus and there's Pastor Mike, you know, and we're all going through the line, and he says, what about Henry, you know? I want him to say good things about me. He goes, hey, you know, Henry was a good guy. He was faithful to the house of God. He gave as he could. He slapped Josh around when he needed it. You know, he was a good father, you know. But so their work is to watch over your souls, our souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. I got to tell you this story because I thought it was important. I didn't tell it in the first service. You know, Josh is not maybe the greatest evangelist, but he's a very good inviter. And so for some of you that are shy like me, You could be a great who was laughing like that? You could be a great inviter. Seriously. You know, they say so many people come to church because somebody invited them. Right, Aunt Faith? Pay attention when I'm talking. Aunt Faith is, we call her Aunt Faith. She's been our friend for probably 50 plus years, lived with us for a while, got a great voice. Need her, have her do a solo. See, they'll never give me the microphone ever again. But anyway, as a matter of fact, I knew Aunt Faith before I knew my wife. She was a roommate of one of my female friends. But anyway, wherever I was, so it's important that we, when pastors, you know, reprove, rebuke us, it's not because that they dislike us or whatever, but they want the very best for us. And that's the verse that I want to share with you. I shared in the first service, it's very important that we hear what God is saying. You know, in the book of Revelations, almost every church, it starts out with, he says, him that have an ear, him that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And so I shared about, you know, in the last 2 or 3 months, I remember Mackenzie stood up and gave a testimony, and she talked from Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, you know, about will a man rob God? Corinne was not in the service, and I don't believe that they, you know, check notes with each other. The following week, what Corinne is doing the tithe thing here that I'm doing, and what does she talk about? Same thing that Mackenzie did the week before. So God is trying to tell you something, tell us something, right? And if you do read Malachi 3, verses 8 through 10, it says, will a man rob God? Yet he have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. So tithe and offerings, when pastor week after week says something, it's not because they're shaking us down. It is because they don't want none of us to be cursed. And unfortunately, probably there's some of us that are under the curse. You want to get out from under the curse? Start obeying God. It's really that simple and easy. And, you know, and week after week, we have testimonies, like I'm going to share some personal stuff here, how God provides. It comes down to either you trust God or you don't trust God. Right? I mean, that's, I'm not as smart as Pastor Mike, but that's really just one word. Is it trust? Do you really, really believe God or not? I remember when we started, when I started our business, and no unemployment, no job, no nothing. I just started a business. No insurance, no nothing. No money coming in, and I was supporting three different houses. We had a house here and a condo in Florida and a condo in Rochester. And I remember I had my budget. My daughter flew up for Father's Day, and even though she wasn't serving the Lord, but God spoke through her. She said, we were having lunch or something. She says, Dad, it's about time you start a business and start working for yourself. And if you need help financially, I will help you. Whoa, you know, a kid saying that. And then she looked at her mother and said, Mom, you're a great teacher. Go back to school and get your college degree. So at 50 years of age, my wife is quite a bit older than me because I'm only 39. But at 50 years of age, she went back to college because we were 60 kids. Or she was, not me. I'm like a 2000 kid or something. But she was a little bit of a naughty girl. You know, one of those hippie kids, never finished her college. But at 50 years of age, she went back, got her degree. And at 54 or 55 out of 200 people, we moved back to Elmira so we could be with our kids and the Lord. At 55, she gets a job out of 200 people at Horseheads High School. Tell me God is not in it. But anyway, I do not want any one of us to leave here today and have a curse on our lives. And so that's why we share these things. But I remember when Josh invited one of his neighbors, and I happened to be here that Sunday, and the neighbors were sitting there, Mark and Stacy, and he was preaching hellfire and brimstone, which he doesn't do very often. And I am a mature guy, an old Pentecostal guy, and I'm going like under this. They're like, stop. Mark and Stacy are here. They'll never come back. Ease up. Well, they didn't. Nothing. He gave the invitation. Nothing happened. They come back the next Sunday. He gives the invitation. Guess who was the first one at the altar? So, you know, sometimes us. I'm an immigrant, by the way, legal one. If you need to see my papers, I have them with me. But so sometimes we need reproof and reproof, don't we? And so it's very important. So it's not only about tithes and offerings, but there's a great blessing. I love when Pastor Rhonda talks about getting your finances from the natural to another level, the supernatural. I really love that. And there's the principle, the first fruits that I shared in first service. And, you know, many times, like if we get $1,000, you know, we go, okay, the first 100, you know, nice sex, second, maybe groceries, third, I got to get a haircut, by the way. And the fourth one, this, and fifth one, this, and then maybe the 10th one is a tie. We really should start out with the very first 100 as our tithe. I shared it not out of any reason, but it's true. I am a very blessed man. I really am, and the glory goes to God. We learn hallelujah means glory to God. And it's because we follow God's principles. Really that easy. You know, 2 + 2 = 4. No matter what Common Core says, 2 + 2 = 4. Okay, and you don't need boxes or triangles or anything else. In Proverbs, it talks about honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. It's not there just for nice little words. It's there because, you know, he that have an ear, let him hear. But anyway, I better get to my personal testimonies. So I've been a tither almost all my Christian life. Okay, since I'm going to blow myself up here, I still am 39, no matter what you think. So I've been saved for 50 years, have never backslid by the grace of God, and I've been tithing almost from the beginning. In the beginning there, when I got married, made some stupid financial decisions. So I was doing that, you know, okay, nice, okay, Lord, I guess this is for you. And then at one point, maybe, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll catch up. How dumb, Henry. I'll catch up next week on my tithe, except next week never came until you draw finally the line in the sand and say the first 100 is going to God. But anyway, so as I said, I'm a blessed man. When we moved from here to the Rochester area, as I told you, I had 3 homes that I was paying on. And one of them we called the farm. My wife loved the farm, but every time we come for the weekend to hang out with Josh and Melanie, we didn't stay at the farm. We stayed with them. You know, Josh would call us up like on a Wednesday, Thursday and say, hey, what are you old folks doing? He was talking to my wife, not me. Hey, what are you old folks doing this weekend? Oh, nothing. Oh, okay, come on down. So we'd come down and hang out with them for the weekend, never go to the farm, never go to our house. So finally, you know, I said, hey, Anna, I gotta sell the farm. She wasn't happy about it. So they double team me. She calls up my daughter. These guys have heard. She calls up my daughter and says, Dad is selling the farm. So guess who gets a phone call? Henry. Hey, Dad, I understand you're selling the farm. Oh, yeah, I, you know, it's hard to support 3 places and there's no need for it. Well, how much are you asking for? Now, this house was a nice house, but we're talking quite a few years ago. The bank maybe would loan somebody somewhere around $100,000 to $115,000, $125,000. So I said, well, I'm going to put it up for sale with a real estate agent at $149,000. I just want to get out from underneath it. I just didn't want a mortgage payment because I had 2 other places. She goes, $149,000? Here we go. Where is your faith, Dad? I said, well, my faith is intact. My faith is good. I don't think so. We've got 200. I'm paying the mortgage. And she says, we. Well, we've got 215 acres there. It's worth a lot more than that. I said, well, Melody, well, how much do you think it's worth? Well, 229. I said, 229, even if somebody wanted to pay for it, no bank is going to mortgage a house that is worth 115 at 200 some thousand dollars. Dad, where is your faith? Oh, man, this faith thing has got to stop. So I said, well, my faith is intact. I'm good. I said, well, listen, I'm willing to compromise with you. Not that I had to. I'm paying the mortgage. I got to compromise with my daughter. I said, okay, I'm willing to compromise. How about 189? And then I go, oh, my gosh, Henry, what did you just do? I don't know. What did you do? I didn't do anything. It was you. No, it was you. No, it was you. I have great conversations with myself. Anyway, so I did. I put it up for sale for 189.9. And I thought, okay, you know, they'll calm down. And after a month or two, when nobody comes to look at the house, I'll just lower it to 149, something realistic. I got a call from two lawyers from New York City. They came up. Josh actually went to the closing with me, and they handed us a check for $189.9. So God can do anything, anything. So when some of the stuff that, since I heard the first sermon, so some of the stuff that he was talking about, or even when he was given his little thing when he was up here, God could do anything. It's about accessibility, being accessible to God, not about who you are and what you are. So we sold the farm from $189.9, and that really helped our whole finances. I remember Josh inviting me to Empowering Pastors, one of the first ones when Tommy Barnett was here. And he asked, about sewing? And I know about sewing, but at that and at that point in our business, it was really difficult. I had a Christian guy sue me. My general manager came to me and says, Henry, you should fire me because I'm the highest paid person here, and you're the lowest paid person, and you're the president of this company. I go, don't worry about it. God will take care of us. And he did. And when it started was, and I asked Carla to actually look it up for me, the finances. But it started when Tommy Barnett was here, and I probably, even though I've been a giver all my life, my Christian life, I probably sold the biggest amount at that time for me. Put it in with the encouragement of my son Josh, and it was interesting. I don't know if you remember what he said to us. He called people up, says, "Hey, if you want to come up, I'm going to pray for you." He says, I've seen more miracles in the last 10 or 20 years than I have my previous 50 years in ministry. So like almost everybody that was there came up. And I remember him saying, he goes, boy, you guys are a bunch of greedy people, you know, as a joke. But no, we just want the God to bless us, you know. So he prayed over us. And our checking account in the business, I never realized it until Carl and I chatted. It went tenfold more than what it was. So if our business account had $30,000, it wound up at $300,000 within a very short period of time. And then the last thing is, Dan is here and Ken is here. So Dan Flatt, go ahead and stand up. Ken is standing. Go ahead, stand up, Ken. You're going to stand again. So these are my community guys. These are my group guys. We have a meeting every Thursday in our office at 7 o'clock. Dan even drives from South Corning. So anyway, about a year and a half ago, I told these guys and a couple of the other guys, because my other son, the one that takes after his mother, Josh is the good guy. He takes after me, you know. He's also good looking like me, I think, you know. But anyway, so I told these guys, I said, you guys need to pray with me. I said, you know, Paul has these two gyms. I'm the bookkeeper and they struggle. And I want to believe, God, that by 12/31/2020, that they'll be paid off. Something will happen financially, that this albatross won't be on my shoulders anymore. And so for a year and a half, they prayed, came to 12/31/2020, and God didn't provide yet. But we didn't give up. These guys would not let me give up. They're my community guys. I love these guys. I love Thursday mornings. Even when I'm Florida, I zoom in with these guys. So they stood with me and prayed with me for a year and a half. About 2 months ago, roughly, my son Paul calls and says, "Hey, Dad, there's a woman who wants to buy the gym in Bath." I said, "Okay, but the problem is the gym in Montour Falls, Grand Prix." Anyway, he couldn't get it together, so I went up and I met the lady, a young girl. And she says, "I want to buy you a gym." And I met her like on a Wednesday or Thursday. By the following Friday, we were at the lawyers, and she handed me a check for $165,000. Who does that, right, Dan? See, Dan is a very, very smart business guy. You guys need some advice. I mean, you got some very smart people in this church. You got Ken. Dan is an awesome guy. I can't hold a candle to these guys. Dan is... when Dan talks, I listen. But anyway, community, these guys stood with me for a year and a half, and we prayed this thing through, and God provided. But listen, $165,000 by this girl, no mortgage, and we weren't selling any property. It was just the equipment. I wouldn't have paid $165,000, and I'm not the brightest bulb in the box. And within a week, a little over a week, we closed on the deal. And so we were able to pay off a ton of bills. So God can do anything. Anything. Financially, he could give you a great daughter-in-law like Melanie. For those of you looking for daughter-in-laws, you can't have her. She's all mine. And God can do anything. Amen. Do you believe that? I hope you believe that. Don't go out of here and be cursed. Get out from underneath the curse. You know, it's a simple thing. You know, Josh is a twin, and when they were born, we didn't have hardly any insurance. We had almost zero money, and then one of them had to stay in the hospital a day later. So insurance hardly covered anything. I had so many bills that I tell people I had like a red notebook with the three-ring binder and a paper for every doctor bill because, you know, you had to have pediatrics. You had this and this and this and that, all kinds. But God helped us, and we paid off every bill. Every bill got paid for. And it's not, like Pastor Mike said, it's not how you start. It's how you finish. Amen. Okay, do you want me to finish preaching now? I can't wait. The message is going to be great, so don't get antsy, Pastor Mike. It's all you. Oh, no, it's you.
Amen. If you're ready to give, stand to your feet. We're going to move our money from that natural into the supernatural hands of God. If you'll repeat the word of God after me, declare it over your finances this morning. It says, "If I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed." Come on and give your tithes and offerings this morning. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button and you can give right along with us.
Pastor Rhonda, how are you? My wife, she just doesn't behave. How many of you know that? Amen. We're so glad you're here. I've got a word from God for you today that I know is going to encourage you, strengthen you. I love God's house. You know, some people just, it's a dread to come to the house of the Lord. I love being in the house of the Lord. I love being where God is. Many of you don't know, so I just want to make you aware of some of the great things that God is doing as well. We split our youth ministry. Many people don't know that. We used to bus in on Thursdays up to 100 teenagers on Thursday nights, and then we had our church kids, and we've actually split that now. And Buddy Jenkins, who is a phenomenal young man, and Deidre, who is a phenomenal young lady, what a team. And they are just kicking the devil's butt down in Elmira with that youth ministry down there. They're down in Hawthorne Court area doing youth every Thursday night. And then here, Pastor Cody is leading youth group here. So we have two youth groups now. And then many people don't realize, but on Sunday morning during this service, the youth meet again. And they have up to 45 teenagers in that room right on the other side of the wall. And then our children's ministry, thank God for Pastor Aaron, amen? And what a great man of God, and his beautiful wife, Greta. They work, and they're just phenomenal people. And as we can see, could you guys stand? Yes, it's today is Christmas in July in our youth ministry. So you were first service? Yes, first service. And amen, that's good. And then next week, you don't want to not bring your children, because next week is Pajama Sunday for children's ministry on the other side of the wall. And our kids are not babysat. We teach our kids to move in the Holy Spirit. So we want to remind you that this is not about babysitting. This is about us bringing our kids, filling the house of God, raising up our next generation. This is a generational church, not just a regular church. We are a generational church. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Many people also don't realize, but I just want to also help you understand what God has been doing at His tabernacle for a long period of time. But in a short period, He's done some really cool things. We have our campus in Ithaca, and Pastor Chad is running the church up there. They're literally at full capacity, and they're in a renovation, a $300,000 renovation in Ithaca right now. And our goal is in 4 years to purchase that building for $4 million. And the owners are born again, and they are all for helping us make sure that all occurs and God is moving. Pastor Dan down in Wellsboro is doing amazing things down in Wellsboro, about 100 people down in Wellsboro. And if you know Wellsboro, 100 people, that's pretty good down there. There's not much down there. Amen. They got a lot of cows. Glory to God. Oh, Mansfield, what did I say? Wellsboro, Mansfield, I'm sorry. It's the same thing. It really is. And actually, that is not, you shouldn't say that, because they do get mad when you merge them. And then we also have, thank God, we have our campus up in New Brunswick, Canada. We also have affiliates that are in Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky, and in West Virginia. And we have our churches down in Mexico, and we have our pastor out in Uganda. And we're looking to start a new campus here really soon down in Florida. And so amazing things that God is doing. I'm very excited. Some of you are saying, you've already come in first service, came up and said, Pastor, we will help down in Florida anytime you want. I said, yes, I'm sure you would. Glory to God. God is doing awesome things. I love participating with what God is doing. But it's important to know it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's also important to recognize, unless the Lord builds the house, the labor's in vain. And so following the direction of the Holy Spirit is so important as we're building not a church, we're building God's kingdom. We've talked about this year being changing forward, and as the body of Christ, what a necessity to make sure that we are changing forward. And a lot of believers, I thank God that they're going to heaven, but that really is their only ideal, is to get to heaven. But I'm here to tell you that's not why you're still here. Turn to someone and say, I'm a minister. Tell somebody else, I'm a minister. Tell somebody else, I've been built for the supernatural. That's right. That's who you are. Many people have the concept as, well, I go to church and I go to this church or I go here. It's a total missing of the boat. This is not about you going to church. This is about you being raised up to do mighty things for the kingdom of God. I want to remind you that as a pastor, the fivefold ministry gifts, Jesus gave gifts to men, Ephesians chapter 4, and that is the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, teacher, and evangelist. We all have the same job, and the same job, and number one job, is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. It's my job to stand up here and to put the tools in your hand. So I didn't say tools on your buttocks. Amen. It's about putting tools in your hand to fulfill God's purpose for your life. So many people just want to go to church, and that's not what this is about. And when the church loses their purpose, then it really is nothing more than a social club. And God wants to resurrect his church to get back to the purpose and destiny of the reason that he put us here on this planet. I want to remind you that you were not born into the kingdom of God here, but God put you here at this time and this season. You've been planted here by heaven. Supernaturally, before the foundations of the earth were created, God knew he needed you right here in this region, at this time, at this season, to do his will and his bidding. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the only way God does that is through the body of Christ. So I want to push you a little bit this morning. I remember it was a few years ago, and a woman came up to me and she said, I'm leaving the church. And I said, what are you leaving the church for? She says, all you do is push, 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 push. All you do is tell us to do this now and tell us to do this. She says, I just want to go to church and kick my feet back and relax. I said, right, you're in the wrong church. Because this is not a church for the lazy. Say amen. Amen. I said, this is not a church for the lazy. Say amen. We've all been called. We all have a purpose. Shout, I'm a minister. You see, Jesus was teaching us these principles. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19 is our verse for the year, and it says this. Listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even put a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. One thing I've learned is that our job is to learn what Jesus did. You see, Christ was our example on the planet. And what did Christ do when he was here? The scripture says that what he did was he taught and he healed. He taught and he healed. In fact, when you start looking at the disciples after Jesus ascended in Acts chapter 1, when he started the church in Acts chapter 2, after they were filled with the Holy Ghost and with power, we start seeing the disciples do two things. They taught, preached, and healed. So teaching and preaching the same, teaching and healing, teaching and healing. Say it with me, teaching and healing, teaching and healing. You see, every single person in the body of Christ is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every one of us have the same call that the disciples had. Every one of us have the same purpose, and the breath that we have in our lungs is designed so that we can do these two things, and that is preach and pray. Preach and heal. God wants to teach you how to grow up in Christ. Can you turn to the person next to you and say, it's time to grow up? Tell somebody up, it's time to grow up. What happened is, I shared this a few weeks ago, in 321, Constantine came into rule. And when Constantine came into rule, what he did was, he created two groups, the papacy and the pew, or the pulpit and the pew. And he made a separation. Now, I want you to know that not everybody's part of the fivefold ministry gifts. That's a call of God. The apostle, the prophet, the pastor, teacher, and evangelist. Jesus gave those gifts to the church for the equipping of the saints to be brought into unity and to brought into maturity. But yet every one of us have been called to be ministers of the gospel of Christ. And when Constantine came in, he cut that off. He emasculated the church. He destroyed the opportunity for the moving forward and the gospel sharing of the body of Christ. But it is time in these last days. It is time in the season that we have never seen before. It is time that God wants to do a new thing. He is raising up the body of Christ. He is raising up the saints of God. He is filling us with the Holy Ghost and with power in these last days to do the work of the ministry like we've never done it before. It is not time to be lax. It is not time to relax. It is time to work. It is time to put our hands to the plow. It is time to get filled with the Holy Ghost. It is time to teach. It is time to share the good news. And it is time to heal the sick. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
See, Jesus set this forth in Matthew chapter 10, 7 through 8. He said, go. Everybody shout go.
Go.
How many of you know go is different from sit? Amen. I just did the iron butt. Some of you don't know what that is. Let me explain. The iron butt is 1,000 miles in less than 24 hours. And I want you to know that at 3 o'clock in the morning, we actually met at the gas station. My brother-in-law, who I love hate, because he talked me into it. And then Ken Clark. I love Ken. I don't feel bad for him, just me. And we got on the motorcycles, and we had a plan. We were going to end up in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, 1,100 miles. And from 3:30 a.m., my buttocks sat in the saddle of that Harley. And I want you to know something. After 1,000 miles, it hurts. And then I took a day off, and then the next day I started back 600 miles. I want you to know I had to stop and get one of those blow-up pillow things. Because my buttocks hurt. I'm praying that the body of Christ buttocks will hurt. Because we've been sitting for so long. We have forgotten that this is not about sitting. This is about working. This is about doing the will of God. This is about us activating the kingdom of heaven and being used in the supernatural. You have been built to be used in the supernatural power of God. And he wants to raise you up. He wants to do great and mighty things through you. It's not just sharing your faith with people, but then it is backing it up with power. Some of the ladies were just down in Florida this week, and I believe it was Jen. The server's foot was hurting, and Jen prayed for the server's foot, and her foot got healed, and then she ended up serving another table, which happened to be some of the other ladies, and they led her to Jesus Christ right there in the restaurant. She openly, publicly confessed Christ as her Savior right in the restaurant. Isn't that awesome? We have a young man, he's actually teaching in the other room with the teenagers. He had a person that he was working with that had a knee problem and needed knee surgery. He laid hands. He's not a pastor. He laid hands on her knee, and God healed her knee, and God set her free, and she gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know that Jesus wants to use you in the supernatural. He wants to use you with healing. He wants to use you to show forth the power of heaven in people's lives. When you start talking about minister, everyone has the same concept. Well, that's the guy that we pay full time, right? That's the minister. No, no, no. That's not the mind of Jesus. The mind of Jesus is that you and I are all ministers. If I was not a pastor called into the fivefold ministry, I would still be a minister. I still have a call in my life. I still have a purpose in my life. Remember, your life wraps in your purpose, not your purpose, wraps in your life. The moment you lose your actual divine purpose is you are truly, genuinely lost. So you've got to know your purpose. You've got to know why God has you here. You've got to know the purpose that God has you on this planet. And when you do, then all the things that happen in life will wrap around your purpose. And your purpose will drive you, not the circumstances. And then you pick up the purpose when you get an opportunity. You see, when you know who you are, when you know what you're called for, when you know the demand and call of heaven upon your life, then you will live a satisfied, as a brother was saying, as he's given his testimony. God has blessed him. God has poured out his spirit in his life. But it's because he obeyed God and God used him, not just at times behind a pulpit, but in his group of men and many others throughout all the years of history. As a board member of a Bible college up near Rochester, Elam, God has used him down in New York City as he's been a board member down there in, what's the name of that place? Nysum, which we've sent people to do for ministry. It's so important to recognize that when you recognize your purpose, your life has meaning. I've come to a conclusion, as I said a little bit earlier. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Doesn't matter how much you acquire. It matters what you're doing. Because when you do the will of God, there is no vanity in it. It's not about you. Jesus lived this life. He lived the life of teaching and healing. Jesus traveled in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. How many kinds? What kinds? All kinds. Jesus then taught his disciples to do the very same thing. We see it in Mark chapter 16. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them, confirming his word with signs and wonders following. One thing you're going to find is you cannot biblically separate the message and the power. Whenever you saw the message preached, you saw the power manifested. Whenever you saw the power manifested, you saw the message preached. But in today's church world, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable with the supernatural. Listen, I don't think the church gets it, because the world is hungry for the supernatural. They'll go to a Reiki healer. They will go to get the psychic read them. They will go and they'll get palms read. They'll search out the supernatural. But when we come to church and start talking about the supernatural power of God, people get uncomfortable. I want you to realize the world is hungry. It's time for the church to get hungry again for the power of God, hungry again for the supernatural. You've been built for the supernatural. Everything is spiritual first, and it's time to get back on your knees and get acquainted with the one who dwells inside of you to allow God to use you for great and mighty exploits. It's not just sharing your faith, it's proving your faith. Many churches, they'll stand up there and they'll do their, listen, I know how to grow a big church. I can do it. I could triple this church in 3 years. How I do it is simple. You get rid of all talk about supernatural, all talk about devils. You eliminate all stuff with the Holy Ghost. Makes people uncomfortable. 20-minute worship service. You don't mention money. You put a box in the back. 20-minute sermonette and everyone's home. You can grow a church. But that does not mean you're growing the kingdom. There is a difference between the church and the kingdom. The church is something that without the power, when persecution comes, will always fall and collapse underneath the pressure of the world. That's why it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. The word witness there means martyr. The church needs to become the church of power again, because we just tasted. Listen now, I just think we all need to come to a quick realization. This whole COVID thing was nothing more than a little basking in some level of persecution. some level of when you start studying the revelation, you start actually studying the one world government and how people will be penned up and run by a one world government. It was just literally a play. Now, I'm not saying the virus wasn't real, but what was more real than the virus was watching not only as the world, but as the church literally succumbed under the governments, and they literally oppressed them and made them live the life that they wanted instead of the life God gave them. And the problem with this is simple, and that is that the church has learned that they would surrender their rights. They would surrender their God-given rights. They would surrender because they don't want persecution. But persecution is coming to the church. You need to know that the only way biblically the sheep and the goats have ever been divided is when persecution has come to the church. When there's an actual cost to serving God. See, people don't want to offend people. Listen, I'm not here to offend, although I will offend you. But I'm not here to make you happy. I'm here to equip you. I'm here to activate you. I'm here to give you a boot if you need a boot. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I'm here to give you a push if you need a push. Say amen. Amen. I'm here because God has sent us to equip you for the work of the ministry, because it's never been a one-man show. Jesus did not do it by himself. He raised up 12, and then there were 70, and then he raised up the disciples, and man, God started pouring out his spirit. 3,000 men were saved the first day, not talking women and children, and then 5,000 were saved two chapters later, and God was raising up the body of Christ, the army of the Lord, that God would be able to do his mighty exploits on the world, so that the earth can see that God is not dead, but God is alive. Amen. This is not about church. It's about God's kingdom. And what happens is when we lose who we are, when we lose why we're here, then we become that social club that everyone doesn't want to be part of. I'll be honest with you. When you start really serving God, people aren't going to like you. And they're simply not going to like you because they don't like the God in you. They don't even know why they don't like you. I guess I became pretty popular in the last few weeks. Sean Snowman went over to Kohl's department store and went to the bathroom and found my name on the wall. And about a week and a half later, a gentleman that I've never met personally said, "Pastor, I think you should see this." And he was at Red Robin. And my name was on the wall there too. So someone was, you know, evangelizing, but not in a good manner. People are going to hate you, man, when you start serving God. I was talking to my wife the other day. I said, you know, sometimes it was easier back when we were in the school. Everyone loved us. I mean, We very rarely lost anybody in the church. It was so fun. But now it's like there's people that are just mean. They're vicious. But the Lord reminds, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. And the more you do for God, the more they're going to hate you. Not because you're a bad person, but because of the God inside of you. They despise the one they serve, despises the one you serve. And there is no meeting in the middle. Man, you cannot serve God, both Baal and God. You got to make a choice. Come out from among them. Be ye separate, says the Lord. That means the church has to be the church. And that means that we got to do it God's way. And doing it God's way is not just sharing the gospel. I thank God for sharing the gospel, but we've got to understand I'm a minister. Shout, I'm a minister. Come on, shout, I'm a minister. I'm a minister. Tell somebody else, I'm a minister. Do you want to know why I'm having you do that? And what happens when you don't? Not just that I'm asking you to repeat it, but something happens in your spirit, because I'm getting you to agree with the word of God. When you agree with the word of God, then you're agreeing with God himself. because you cannot separate God from his word. So when I get you to speak, life and death are in the power of the tongue. My tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. When I start to speak it, I want you to know if I stand to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, I shall have what I ask. That when I start to speak, supernaturally things are being released. So when I say, come on now, shout, I'm a minister, there is an activation within your spirit man. Now your spiritual man is making an identification that I'm going to agree with God's word. You see, you and I are part of the ecclesia. We are part of the legislative body of heaven, and God has placed that here on earth. This is not just a church building. This is not just a church experience. This is the ecclesia, the legislative body of Jesus Christ. You see, we represent God himself. You are a diplomat from heaven to earth. The Bible says it very clearly in Corinthians. He says you are now ambassadors of Christ. Oh, I got to read the verse. It's just such a powerful verse. 2 Corinthians 5:20. So we are Christ's ambassadors. That means we are diplomats from another country. You are diplomats from the kingdom of God. So when your mind is all wrapped up, listen now, when you love the world more than you love God, then you've stopped being a diplomat. You've got to choose which country you're going to serve. Choose you this day whom you shall serve. You know there comes to that, right? You've got to make a choice to serve God. You can't serve both God and the devil. You can't serve both God and yourself. There is a separation. I know this is the uncomfortable gospel. This is how you don't build a church. You don't preach the Bible. Jesus was ruthless when he came to this. He didn't play games. He said, I always usually say it when I'm doing an altar call, if you deny me before man, I'm going to deny you before God. It's not a joke. And as the body of Christ, we've got to shake ourselves. Because God needs us in these last days. And I want you to recognize that God is either going to stop and move or move on. There are many churches that have missed the move of the Holy Spirit. There are many churches that have been wrapped up with themselves in their own legitimacy, that they have missed the outpouring of God's Holy Ghost. They have missed God's calling. They have missed God's purpose. And therefore, God no longer goes to that church. God no longer visits that church. And neither does the devil, because the devil doesn't have to worry about that church, because it does not have the supernatural power of God being manifested. And where God is not manifested, God is not proven. And if God is not proven, then it goes against his word, because the word of God declares that when the word of God is preached, that God will confirm it with signs and with wonders. So not every building that has church on the top board means church. Doesn't mean they're diplomats. Oh, I got to finish reading that verse. I got a little excited. Sorry. 2 Corinthians 5:20. So we are Christ's ambassadors. I love this. Ready? God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. See, when we start sharing the gospel, literally God is saying, that's my man. That's my woman. That's my representative. When they speak, I stand up with them. You see, we forget that God is not just expecting you to stand for him, but God is going to stand for you when you do his will. When you and I do what God has called us to do, heaven stands up. God confirming his word. God confirming his word. God confirming his word with signs and wonders following. That means you stood up. That means you declared the good news. That means you spoke the gospel. And when you lay hands on the sick, the Bible declares that God will perform the supernatural in this place. R.W. Shambach, I believe it was R.W., was in India preaching, and nothing was happening. And it was kind of dead, and nothing was happening. Maybe I heard it from him. So anyways, so he's preaching the gospel. So he goes back, and he comes back to America, and I believe he comes in contact with a great man of God, and he goes back, and he realizes that what he was missing was he was sharing the gospel but not releasing the power of heaven. So he stood up to preach, and he preached the gospel, and then he released the miracle-working power of God, and then all of a sudden, the altar was being rushed by thousands and thousands of people. And he's freaking out. And he said to the interpreter, "What's going on?" He said, "People are getting healed all over. They want to get close to you. They want to get near you. They want to get near the front. They want to get near more. They got to have more." Well, I want you to know something. You and I, we just think we're little people that walk on a little planet, but we're not on a little planet. We're on God's territory. Can I hear an amen? And you have been planted here specifically for a people group that only you can ever reach. And when you start sharing the gospel, they might laugh at you. But when you start sharing the gospel and somebody is sick and you lay hands on them and God heals them right there, I want you to know something. They can't deny the gospel any longer because the gospel has been proven. And God wants to raise you up to be people of the supernatural. Jesus said it the best in John chapter 14. He says, "A greater work shall you do because I'm going to go to the Father." Father, I want you to know that Jesus has planned you. Jesus has planned your life to be a life because you've been built for the supernatural. He's planned your life to be a life that is going to bring forth heaven to earth. He's planned for your life not just to share your faith with somebody, but when somebody is sick, somebody is diseased, as Christ healed every disease and every sickness, God wants to raise up his church in faith to do the same things that he did, the same thing the disciples did. We are now the disciples of Jesus Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are the ecclesia. We are the church. We are the men and women of God. And it's time not only to share the gospel, but now to manifest the power of it. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
When we miss that, man, then we miss a whole part of the gospel. A whole part of the gospel. You know, we've already talked about how to share your faith. You should already have these. If you don't have these, they're available out on the whatever table that is now. It's called His Tabernacle Covenant. My covenant to pray for and invite the following 7 people are on your list. You're interceding for them. You're praying for them. You're binding the devil who blinds the mind of the unbeliever. You're praying for them, you're inviting them, and then you're bringing them, and then we've given you tools, and these are the little trifolds that you can hand out to your friends and family as a witnessing tool for them to be able to share the gospel with them. Then we also have it's called a QR code or whatever code that is that Pastor Dan made. That thing is powerful. People are getting saved because of that. But that's just part of it. The other part is that you and I must learn how to move in the power of God.
Well, you know, I don't know. I prayed for Aunt Lucy and nothing happened to her. You know, I really believed it, but she died.
You know what? The day you start putting faith, more faith in your circumstance than you do in the Word of God, you're doomed already. You have to make a decision a long time ago. The decision you have to make from the very beginning is that God's Word is supreme. And that I will not be governed by my circumstances. I will not be governed by what I see. I will not be governed by what I hear. I'm governed by the Word of God. You see, God's Word is the ultimate truth. I put my faith in the ultimate truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Jesus is the truth. So I put my faith in the truth. You see, I prayed for people and they've died. I prayed for people and they have not gotten healed. And I sat back and I said, "I don't understand." But the one thing I know is I don't know their life. I don't know where they are. I'm not saying they're bad, but some of them might have given up and just wanted to go home. Some of them might have had sin in their life. I knew one guy, great man of God. He was my uncle. I loved him. And I sat with him, my wife and I sat with him at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I couldn't understand why he wasn't healed. And he looked at it and he says, "I know why I'm not healed." He says, "I can't forgive my wife for the hell she put me through when she went through menopause." Well, she was sitting at the other end of the table. Exactly. I mean, I've been praying, laying hands on him. He's a great, he loved Jesus. But he told us why he wasn't healed. I wouldn't have known that. His family didn't know that. He never told his children that. We've got to come to a conclusion that God's word is the only thing that we place our faith in. And until we do that, then we're going to vacillate. And the Bible says that we'll be driven by the wind and tossed. Our faith will be tossed all over. Don't let us think we're going to receive anything from the Lord. The Bible is very clear about our faith.
Pastor, I just don't know. Me? I mean, I'm really a nobody. You think I should lay hands on people and they should that they'll get healed? And I'm telling you right now, exactly.
God wants to put the tools in your hands that when you find somebody that's sick, you will lay hands on them and they will recover. It doesn't say and lay hands on them and they might recover. It says they shall recover. The issue, come on now, I'm going to get down to the nitty-gritty now. The issue is not whether God's word is true or not. The issue is, does the church believe it or not? For God cannot lie. He's made promises and oaths. God can't lie. So the issue has nothing to do with God. The issue has nothing to do with that he's powerless or not as powerful as some things. The issue is, does the church actually believe that what God says we can do, we can do? That is the resolve that has to happen in our lives. Do we believe more in our circumstances, more in what we've seen with our eyes, more in what our experiences have been, or do we believe more the word of God? Until you come to that resolution in your own heart, you will consistently vacillate and you will struggle and have great trials in your life. Why? Not because God is trying to prove anything except to bring you back to the word of God to say, what does my word say? What does my word declare? And what will you speak? What will you believe? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And we walk by faith and not by sight. We've got to make a decision. Is God's word pinnacle in our lives? Truth. American churches, this is where they struggle. Many churches don't preach faith. Many churches don't want to push people. Do you ever see the greatest pusher in the scripture? Of course you have. His name is Jesus. John chapter 6. If you haven't read John chapter 6 in a long time, you should. This is what Jesus did. Ready? The Bible says he had great crowds of disciples. Doesn't name them, but that we know there was a good crew. We know there was at least 82. 82 that traveled with him all the time. Wherever Jesus went, there were 82 people with. That's just what we know. But we know there are more because you could not pick a new disciple or a new apostle, the scripture says in the book of Acts chapter 1, unless they had been there from the beginning. So we really don't know the crowd. But this is what we do know. In John 6, Jesus stood up and he said this, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you can have no part of me. And the Bible says in John 6:6:6, the mark of the beast, that everyone left him. All the disciples, he purged his own crew. Just not how to build a good church. But it is how to build a kingdom. Because he didn't need to amass a group of people. He just needed enough that actually believed what he spoke was truth. Do you believe it's truth? If you believe it's truth, you obey it. Say amen. If you believe it's truth, then you live it. Can I hear an amen? But pastor, you're talking about me. You know, I don't really know much. You know what? Give me a new believer any day, or a child. A new believer or a child. They don't know enough. They just will do it. Oh, is that what I'm supposed to do? Okay. Little Sophia, man, she's just so funny. I remember taking Cody when he was 5 years old. I was on the road as an evangelist. I remember taking him to Dallas, Pennsylvania. Very different from Dallas, Texas. We're in this church. This is Assembly of God Church. And there is this woman about a third of the way back, and she has a tree, and she has an IV going in her body, and she has oxygen going in her nose. And, you know, I just looked at Cody, and I was just doing my stuff, and he disappeared, and I didn't know where he went. He went back to that woman, and he says, "You know, when I pray for you right now, you're going to get healed. You know that, don't you?" He's 5 years old. He didn't know enough to have unbelief. He laid hands on the woman. God healed her. I got a letter from a Sunday school teacher in the same church. No, that was in Pittsburgh. From Pittsburgh, Assemblies of God Church down in Pittsburgh. I sent him to Children's Church. And I got a letter about a month later. The Sunday school teacher had high blood pressure and diabetes. And she somehow mentioned it in the class. And Cody said, "Well, you know, when I lay hands on you, you're going to be healed, right?" So he laid hands on this woman, and I got a letter from her saying to me, "When your boy prayed for me, I didn't believe it myself, but I went back to the doctor, and I have no more diabetes, and my blood pressure is perfect. They've taken me off all medications." See, what happens is you grow up a little bit, you know what I mean? And you get too cynical and too intelligent to just simply believe the word of God. We've got to believe the Bible. Say amen. Amen. We got to believe the Bible. Say amen. Amen. I'm almost done. Two more hours, we're out of here. Ah, my God, I love him in the back. He always shouts, "Take your time, Pastor." Let me tell you why some people don't care about today's message. Because there are people in the room today that you're just looking at your clock wondering, when do I get out of here? Some people, they just simply want to go to heaven. And working for God is not something that interests them. "I just want to go to heaven, Pastor. That's why I gave my heart to Jesus." Listen, I don't blame you. I want to go to heaven too. But I want to remind you something that's very powerful. You cannot be saved by works, but when you're saved, you will do works. It is a byproduct of who you are. If you don't believe me, read the book of James. You have to recognize that when you're truly serving the Lord, that service is something that you will do, that you will do the work and the will of God. Jesus said it best, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Some people are so wrapped up in their own lives, they don't care about anybody else. Some people are wrapped up in their own problems. That they're living not successful, they're not living victorious, they're surviving. How can you help somebody if you're in survival mode? Some people, honestly, they feel that their past disqualified them. "Well, you don't know how I lived. You don't know what I did." Listen, now, all I know is God don't care where you come from. He cares where you're going. And by the way, not one person in this room surprised God when you screwed up. He didn't go, "Oh, no." He knew it before you did it. Not that he was okay with it, but you didn't shock him. And he has blood that will forgive you of your sins. Throw it as far as the east and the west and remembers it no more. Some people just simply have never heard. You know, there are people in this room that you're just newly saved, man. You don't got a clue. I'd rather have you because you're easy to fix. You're easy to give the initial gospel to. It's like I always wanted to mess with my children and teach them that green was blue and blue was green and 1 + 1 = 6 and 2 + 2 = 12. I always wanted to do that. And it is sick, but I always did want to do that. But we have that happened in the body of Christ all the time. where people are taught bad doctrine all the time, and then we got to get the bad doctrine out of them to get the word, the truth of the word in them. So you got a new believer, sometimes it's a lot easier than having to take out to put in, say amen or oh my. I got to end. The question again comes down to this. Do you really believe the Bible is true? Because the issue is not God. God is clear in what he's called us to do. He's clear in what he will do through us. He's clear in what he will manifest supernaturally through us. He's clear in how he'll confirm our words of the gospel through us. He's serious about healing sick people and casting out devils. He's serious about all that. So the issue is not God. The issue is, do we actually believe that what God says he'll do through us, he'll actually do? The actual factual matter that we've got to confront in our lives is, do I believe this is truth? And if you don't, I mean, you can still go to heaven, but boy, you're going to miss out on a lot. Because personally, the first time you lay hands on someone and they get healed, it's fun. No, really. I've seen every kind of miracle that can be seen. I've seen literal blind eyes open. We've seen deaf ears open where the man didn't even have any junk in his ears. He had a metal plate, and he could hear completely out of that ear. I've seen multiple sclerosis healed where their feet could not work, and God healed them. I know there was a man down in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania, who screwed up his back because he was a HVAC guy, could not even bend over anymore. The doctors gave up. They were just going to have to fuse his entire back. But I watched God touch him and completely, miraculously heal his back. He's jumping up and down. He's bending over, touching his toes. He's running around the sanctuary. I've seen tumors in breasts disappear. I've seen tumors in brains disappear. I've seen women be able to have babies they said wouldn't have babies. We've seen miracle after miracle after miracle. And I don't care who you are. Every single time you see a miracle, it is so exciting. It is so thrilling. It is so exhilarating. Every time somebody gets saved and their life is no longer the same, it is life transforming. Church, don't miss what God has for you. Don't miss the blessing of God by cheating yourself, by not stepping into sharing the gospel and proving it with the laying on of hands. Over this next 6 weeks, we're going to teach you how to pray for sick people. We're going to teach you how to cast out demons. Oh, yeah, you don't think there are still demons? There are devils in this room right now. There are demons. They just hide because they're hoping that you stay dumb so they can still keep working. We're going to teach you how to cast them out. Some people say, well, I don't know. I've never seen a demon in America. Oh, my goodness. I've seen them literally crawl like a snake up an aisle. Question is this. Do you believe God's word is true? And if you do, get ready. We're going to put the tools in your toolbox, and you're going to have a time in Jesus. You got to occupy till he comes. You're going to work. Come on now. If you don't work, you don't eat. Say amen. You're going to work. But that means God's going to place you in a place called the mission field. And your mission field might be your workplace. It might be your family. It might be Walmart. It might be... But God's going to use you. And when you see somebody sick, you lay hands on them. Man, you step out in faith. God will use your life. Amen? So get ready. Our next about 6 weeks is going to be just fun. I just love this kind of stuff. And we're going to teach you practically how to do it. First, I'm going to prove it to you. Because unless you know beyond a shadow of a doubt in the Word of God that it's always God's will to heal, then you'll always question. That means you'll live more in doubt than you will in faith. So I'm going to train you. Is that all right? Listen, you don't go to McDonald's, get a job, and they say, they're the hamburgers. Go get them done. They're going to take you and make you watch video after video after video to cook a hamburger that you're hoping is actual beef. In the house of God, what a great catastrophe that if we don't teach you how to lay hands on the sick, how to see people free from demons, God will use your life. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your church. We are your body. We are your church. We are your kingdom. Jesus, you have great plans for us. Lord, today in your name, we activate the body of Christ that this week we will be soul snatchers. That God, you'll start using us to lay hands on sick people and they shall recover. God, anything from any disease as you did, Jesus, we're just following you. You preached and you healed. You preached and you healed. And we will do the same. God, I bind the spirit of intimacy in the name of Jesus. No intimidation in Jesus' name. We'll have a Holy Ghost boldness. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I know I've gone long this morning, but I've enjoyed myself, so thank you. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you want him in your life. You want to start serving the God of purpose. You want your sins washed away, become a new man and a new woman. Nope, no, I didn't say religion. Nope, I didn't say church will save you. Only Jesus saves you. Today, if you need Jesus to wash your sins away, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Is there anyone in the room? I'm not going to wait long. Amen. That means we all got work to do next week. Can I hear an amen? You need to bring at least one unsaved friend to the kingdom of God. If you're online, I want you to pray. Let's all pray together for those that are online. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you have a plan for us. We thank you that we are purposed people. Right now, we're making conscious decisions. We want you to be our God. We want you to wash our sins away. We declare that you are God. We declare that you did raise from the dead. And right now, we receive you as our Lord and Savior. Change us from the inside out. We're never going back to the world. The devil can never have us again. We're going to run this race to win. And we will be used for you to change other generations. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you. What an awesome fun we're going to have. Get ready now. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss 1 week. Brother Teddy will be here next Sunday morning preaching the gospel. Brother Ted Shuttlesworth. Remind you that starting on Thursday is the Uproar Conference. It's going to be amazing. It is just, I think they have over 500 registered already. I think I'm saying that right. Normally they have just about 100 or so. So there'll be over 1,000 teenagers in this place, rocking this place for God. Amen. It's going to be an awesome. What's that, my love? If you want to volunteer, there's going to be a meeting right after this service. Then what I'm saying is, as adults, you can't come to this unless you're volunteering. So if you want to be part of this, you need to volunteer. What? Yes, amen. Because, you know, we vet everybody that just walks in the door. You know, we just can't have anybody walking in. So we love you. Serve God with all your hearts. Man, I want you to be soul snatchers this week. How many are going to share the gospel with at least one person this week? Listen, if you ask God, he'll send them to you. You don't even need to do it yourself. Ask him. He'll send them to you. Amen. Be blessed. Enjoy Jesus. We love you. Have an awesome day in Christ. That was tough. You're the joy.